Welcome to the Trigator Podcast, where budgets are balanced, debt gets destroyed, and alligator expenses get fed before they bite. I am your host, Nate Tanner. The Trigator Podcast is sponsored by Trigator. Go to Trigator.com and sign up for your free trial of the Trigator app to budget by paycheck, build your savings, and knock out debt. With Trigator, you can enjoy life more and worry about money less. Okay, there's been some grim economic news coming out lately. There's a number of top economists that are saying that a recession is on its way. And recessions, of course, mean that we all need to tighten our belt a little bit. And we need to be prepared so that we can make sure that as this recession is going on, that we're protecting our family from any hardship that may come upon from this recession. So it's not fun news. It's not something that we would hope for, but it is what it is, and we've got to start planning for it. So the first thing that we want to do is we want to look at the short-term effects of a recession, but we also want to think about some of the long-term things that we need to do to protect our families from hardship in a longer term and going beyond just what could be a short recession. So what I want to talk about first is kind of to help with this, help us prepare for this recession, is emergency funds. So you want to build an emergency fund as quickly as possible. And that should be the first thing that you're doing as far as things go. This should happen before you're paying off debt, before you're doing any retirement savings, anything like that. You need to get that emergency fund built. And what I've heard suggested is that you can start with just $1,000, but I think that it's a little bit more safe and secure to build it to a month of expenses first. And that way, if you have a month worth of expenses, then you have financial peace of mind, where if something happens that, let's say you lose your job, you've got a full month to be able to replace that income. So you can start with $1,000 if you'd like, but I would recommend to build to that month first, because that's going to give you more cushion for moving forward. Now, once you've built that that month worth of emergency fund, then you can move into paying off debt and really applying things towards that. However, since we are in a period where a recession is coming, it may be worthwhile to think about building to 3 to 6 months of emergency fund, because with the recession, we don't know what's going to happen in the future. I don't have a crystal ball, as I've said before, and we don't know if the employment situation is going to turn around and become difficult. We don't know if companies are going to start laying off. We don't know. And so the more of an emergency fund that we can have, the better, because that's going to help us to, it's kind of recession proofing, where if we have that 3 to 6 months of savings, then we have 3 to 6 months to find a new job, to get by whatever emergency may come our way. So build that emergency fund as quickly as possible, because the recession is coming, and we want to be prepared for that. Let's shift gears just a little bit and talk about some of the longer term hardships that can happen. And the way we want to address some of these long term hardships and these larger hardships that can happen is with insurance. And a lot of people have lost an understanding of what insurance is. And insurance is basically something to protect you from a financial disaster. Okay. There's different things that can come up and happen that could cause a huge financial problem for you if you don't have insurance. And I want to talk briefly about 4 different types of insurance that you need to have in order to make sure you're protecting your family from hardship. And the first is property or renter's insurance. These can cause, like, there's huge financial liabilities if you don't have that insurance. And in fact, some places require it. If you have a mortgage and such, then you're definitely required to have property insurance. But even renter's insurance now, I know of apartment complexes that are starting to require you to carry renter's insurance. And what this is to protect you in the case of theft or fire from a huge loss, or if somebody gets injured on your property or something like that, because those things can cause huge financial difficulties and have big bills around them. So make sure that you shop around and that you get really good property insurance. The next type of insurance that you want to ensure you have is health insurance. Healthcare is very, very expensive, and I know from experience that you can very quickly hit a huge, huge medical bill that can come up unexpectedly. And you want to make sure you have good quality health insurance so that you can get past that financial difficulty. Because we don't know what the future will hold, like we've talked about a minute ago, and you don't know what health concerns or health problems could come up in the near future. Again, the purpose of health insurance is to help you to not have to go through a huge financial hardship. And we don't want to have a serious injury or a sudden need for surgery put you into a situation where you have massive amount of medical bills to pay for beyond what you're able. I remember that it was several years ago, but I thought that I was doing well and I was healthy and everything was fine. And it was actually the Sunday after Thanksgiving. We were having Thanksgiving leftovers over at my parents', and I suddenly got this terrible stomach pain in my stomach. And I had no idea what it was, but it was the worst pain that I've ever felt in my life. And I basically collapsed on the floor. And we ended up having to call 911. The emergency, the paramedics came and checked me out, and I was taken to the hospital. And at the hospital, they did tests and found that my gallbladder was about to explode, and I needed to have emergency gallbladder surgery. So that was one problem that suddenly happened, and I had a an overnight stay in the hospital, which is expensive and such. And then that's unfortunately not the worst part of the story. What happened was after I was released, it ended up that I still was getting pains every so often in my stomach that were really, really bad. And I ended up in the emergency room about four different times, and they couldn't figure out what was going on. And on my fifth trip to the emergency room, we finally talked to one of my doctors, and he said, "I'm going to admit you to the hospital because this is not going away." And I was ended up in the hospital for 7 days while they were trying to figure out what was going on. And it ended up that there was a residual stone left behind from my gallbladder, and that was causing all this pain and discomfort and issues. And we had to get that taken care of. But after seeing the hospital bill that I had, I was extremely grateful for health insurance and that I was able to pay for that through my health insurance, because that would have been a huge financial burden that would have caused me to be in serious financial dire straits. So get that health insurance and make sure that you're maintaining it. The next type of insurance that I want to talk about is life insurance. Heaven forbid that anything happened to us when we're working and we leave our family behind, but it does happen. There are instances where things don't go to plan, and we need to make sure that our family is taken care of. Just a couple of weeks ago, a friend of mine, their son was killed suddenly in an automobile accident, and left behind his family with some young children. And we need to have life insurance so that our family is protected from that hardship, because it's hard enough losing a family member, but to also have a financial difficulty after that is not something we want to worry about. So get life insurance so that you can not have that potential of a financial trouble that could happen. The last type of insurance is one that we don't think a lot about, but I like it. It's disability insurance. And the reason I like it is that I at one point had back problems, and I ended up having to have a major back surgery that put me in a recliner for 3 months. And I was stuck in this recliner for 3 months and unable to work. And thankfully, I was able to get paid still because I had disability insurance, because I was at that point under short-term disability, and I wasn't able to work for 3 months. And it was a great blessing in my family's life, because I was still able to pay my bills. I was still able to move forward with things while I recovered, and I didn't have a financial trouble on top of a health problem. And that's what we want to try to avoid with any of these things that we're planning for, is we want to avoid financial problems on top of other problems. Even going back to your emergency fund, if you have an emergency that comes up, you don't want to not only have an emergency, but a financial problem. You don't want both of those at the same time. So really, that emergency fund helps you to prevent from having those financial problems, and insurance is that protection that you need from major financial disasters. All right, let's get to our questions. Our first question is from Bree. Bree says, what steps can I take to lower my mortgage after an escrow shortage has increased my monthly payment? Well, Bree, I have some bad news for you, is that there's not much you can do to lower that payment, because your mortgage payment is going to be made up of principal and interest and taxes and insurance. And if your taxes and insurance goes up, then your mortgage payment is going to go up. And if you ended up being short for that year from your escrow, then generally you actually have two choices that the mortgage company is going to give you. They're either going to give you the choice of applying that to your mortgage and repaying it to take it up, or making a lump sum payment and paying it all off at once, which is what I would actually recommend, is just is dipping into that emergency fund if you have to pay off that escrow shortage so that it doesn't increase your mortgage payment too much. Now, if your taxes and insurance does go up, then your mortgage payment is going to go up, and there's not much you can do, because you cannot change your principal and interest payment. Based on your mortgage document, the note that you have, that is going to amortize at a certain schedule, and your principal and interest is going to remain what it is based on the agreement you have with the lender. So your mortgage is going to pay, your mortgage payment is going to fluctuate a little bit because of that escrow and that tax and insurance. And one thing you can do is maybe look into another insurance carrier and see if you can get a better deal with your homeowner's insurance. So sadly, you can't do anything about taxes. That's gonna change based on what your county does, and also your principal and interest is nothing you can change. But your homeowner's is the only piece of that you can really do anything with. So good luck, Bree. I hope that gives you some options. Our next question is from Christy. She says, what happens if you stop paying federal student loans? Very simple. You go into default and they will take you to court. Student loans are something that you're going to have to pay. Okay. I know right now there's a lot of talk about student loan forgiveness, and that may come down in the future. Who knows? We don't know what's going to happen, and we don't know if it's going to get challenged even if there's an executive order that says student loans are forgiven. We don't know that that's not going to get challenged in court and end up getting reversed in the courts. Who knows what direction that's going to be? But for right now, student loans are one of those things that you have to pay, and there's not really any ways. I mean, even they're even protected against bankruptcy. The student loan is something that you really need to pay, because if you default on it, they will come after you for it. They'll take you to court. They'll put liens on your home and garnish your wages. And they are really, really ugly to get into when you default. So make sure you're paying on those student loans, because even if they're going to be forgiven in the future, we don't know that that's going to stick or that that's going to even happen. So pay them off, get out of debt, and get that monkey off your back as quickly as you can, because that is one of the worst debts that's out there that you can have. So good luck, Christy. I hope that you make the right decisions. Our final question is from Maria. She said, which side hustle can I do to make extra money? Now, I love, if you've listened to this show, to this podcast, you know that I love side hustles. And I've done a lot of them over the years. I've done everything from flipping burgers part-time to driving Uber to driving DoorDash to just everything you can imagine under the sun. And I love a good side hustle. I feel like it gets you in a great position to make extra money to throw at whatever goal you're working at, whether that be building your emergency fund or paying off debt or whatever the case may be. It gives you that extra money, and it's not too difficult of work to do. So one of the things, if you have a vehicle that I love are any of the vehicle-based side hustles. Things like Uber, Lyft, DoorDash, Grubhub, Amazon Flex. All of those are really good options if you have a vehicle. And the thing that I like about those is the flexibility that's involved with them, because you're an independent contractor. Now, that does mean that you have to take care of your own taxes and you have to take care of some of those other things on your own that you wouldn't necessarily have to if you were an employee, but you also get the perks of being an independent contractor to be able to do things like set your own schedule, work when you want to work, work how long you work. I mean, it's much more flexibility than if you go and get a job as a server, which I've also done. If you go and get a job as a server, you can make great money on tips, but if you're an employee, they're going to be able to say when you work, how long you work, and all of those different things that go along with being an employee, which is fine, and it works just fine and great. But if you want some flexibility to be able to say, you know what, I want a Saturday night off, I don't want to go and drive, you can do that if you choose. So I really like those driving ones, but there are any side hustle is really great to make that extra money. So Maria, good luck. Hope that things can work out for you. If you'd like to submit a question to the Trigator podcast, you can email us at podcast@trigator.com. You can post questions to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Trigator, or you can visit our website, trigator.com/podcast, and submit your questions there. Be sure you like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram. It's @Trigator, and that you subscribe to this podcast so that you never miss an episode. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Trigator podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Trigator. Go to Trigator.com to sign up for your free trial of the Trigator app to budget by paycheck, build your savings, and knock out debt. With Trigator, you can enjoy life more, worry about money less. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.